It's a fantastic text just to end our series on prayer. That when we come before God in prayer, we have to be able to see the reality that's around us. What is against us? Last week we talked about the principalities and the powers, and our battle's not against flesh and blood. Our battle's not against each other. But there is an enemy out there, but the enemy was once described, or the devil was once described, like a barking dog without much of a bite. And I remember when we went to Brazil about 10 years ago, and we took our friend Gordon with us, and he hated dogs. And everywhere you go in Brazil in a house, they have dogs. But not just any dogs. They have Rottweilers and big, fierce guard dogs, because they're scared people are going to break into the houses. You'll go and you'll see in the house they all have railings and guards up, and you know you can't get anywhere near the house because it's so protected. And inside they've got dogs. There's an extra layer just in case somebody does try to break in or even rob you in the house. So they're giving a good picture of Brazil here, aren't they? And so we went to a friend's house, and we went in, and as we entered in, my friend Gordon had heard the dog barking. And he was like, oh my goodness, there's a dog coming. And it's terrifying. And he ran past us going, ah! And he jumped up at one of these railings, one of these guards in the front of the house. And they've all got spikes in them. And he jumped up there and he spiked his legs and he cut his legs. And he was grabbing hold for dear life. And out walks a sausage dog. You see, sometimes we get the enemy out of perspective, don't we? We get what we're facing out of perspective. We think it's going to be something fierce, but actually it's a sausage dog. And even if they're Rottweiler in Brazil, you just go out and you ignore it. It's amazing. It does. I'm not fussing dogs, but it's amazing. The Rottweiler's there, the big dog's there, and you go, hello, how are you doing? You just don't look at it. You ignore it. You just tell it who's boss. I'm in charge here. It's terrifying, but but you just ignore it, and the dog won't do anything. It's incredible. So if you do get big dogs, just ignore it. It's the best way to deal with it. And so therefore, sometimes we get our enemy out of perspective. We give it more strength, more authority, more power than we think. And actually, through prayer, through declaration, through the power of the Spirit that is within us, because we've got to remember that which is within us is greater than that is in the world. Greater than that which comes against us. Greater than the power and the authorities. Greater than the prophets of the Old Testament. Greater than what Elisha had. Greater than what Elijah had. Greater than what John the Baptist had. We have the Spirit of God within us. We're connected with God. We're in union with God. We're in relationship through the Holy Spirit. We have a power within us that we don't even realize that we have or contain or can use through the power of prayer and declaration of what God can do. The Spirit within us has power to work through us and do incredible things and transform things and change situations. It's just sometimes we can't get that through to our head, can we? Because we're fleshy in our nature, because we're sort of driven by our own desires, our own needs, we don't always connect with that power that is the Spirit of God within us. And we see the world through our own perspective, our own eyes, our own needs, our own desires, our own hurts, our own pains, our own circumstances, rather than seeing the world through the way that God wants to see it, spiritually. Looking at situations, looking at circumstances, looking at challenges, looking at difficulties, looking at them and saying, spiritually, what is happening here and what does God want to do in this situation? God, how do you see it? And how should I stand in this situation? And how should I pray in it? And how should I declare over it? And how should I walk in it? Are you following me? If you're not, just tell me. It's a difficult concept, I know. But we walk in a power and an authority that we don't even understand. We can see things spiritually that we don't even know that we can perceive. Jesus says, see, the field is ripe for harvest. Now, was there a field ripe for harvest? There may have been, but he wasn't talking about that field, was he? He was talking about something spiritual. He was saying there's souls, people's lives that are ripe to come to salvation. Can you see it? Can you see it? Do you see it? And if you can see it, you can believe it. And if you believe it, you can declare over it. And if you declare over it, you can walk in confidence and you can say there is a harvest that is ripe for the taking. There is souls who want to know Jesus. There's still people who are interested in God. Lord, open my eyes that I might see your harvest. And so we have this amazing story of Elisha, and he must have been really annoying for the king of Aram. Aram is what we'd call modern day Syria nowadays, and so it was north of Israel where Elisha was living. And the kingdom of Israel was split into two kingdoms, you may know or not. It was split into Judah, where there was Jerusalem, and where the temple was, and where there was worship. And it was split into Israel, which were the northern tribes. And so the people from the northern tribes of Israel had to go to Jerusalem to worship God. So the kings there didn't like that. So they said, no, we don't want our people to go to Jerusalem and go to Judah to another king and another kingdom to worship God. We'll build high places and people can worship God there. And eventually the people of Israel just built a god and images and idols and their own images and worshiped God in the way that they wanted to. And that's a danger for us, that we come to worship with our carnal minds, our own desires, our flesh and what we want and what we desire. We come to worship making a god in our own image, making worship in our own image, doing what we want and what from our perspective. But we're here to worship God in spirit and truth. We're here for the presence of God, not for the entertainment. We're here to build each other up, but we're here to build each other up in the spirit of God and the power of God and the authority of his word. We come and worship, not because we want to be religious, but we want to come and be together that God might rend open the heavens and his presence might come down and be amongst us and dwell with us. We might experience him in an incredible and powerful way. And so the kings in the northern kingdom, as you can imagine, God was never really happy with them. They were never really good kings. The kings in Judah tend to be relatively okay, but the kings of Israel tend to be quite evil. Yet even though they were quite evil, God's still protecting them. God's still looking out for them. That's amazing, isn't it? God's still got his hand on them and a purpose for them, a plan for them. And so the king of Aram, he's wanting to attack. He's wanting to attack Israel. And he's sending out raiding parties to go and do as much damage as they can, burn crops, defeat small groups of troops, burn down villages, do all these things. But every time he sends troops out, every time he sends out a raiding party, the king of Israel knows that he's coming already because Elisha's told him. Isn't that incredible? And so the king of Aram's getting really fed up because every time he sends a raiding party out, the man of God knows about it and he's told the king of Israel and he's thwarted it. Then he calls his officers and he says, come on guys, which one of you is a spy? Which one of you is working for the king of Israel? Somebody's telling them what's happening here. And they said, it's not us, it's Elisha, it's the man of God. A man of God, maybe a woman of God, but it's a person of God there. That God's telling them your plans, that this God knows even what you're saying in your very bedroom. And he's telling this man of God about it, and he's thwarting you. It's nothing to do with the King of Israel. It's God. It's the man of God who's stopping your plans. Isn't that amazing? And we stand here as the people of God. And God puts us in place through the power of prayer, through the Spirit of God within us, to thwart the enemy. To anticipate the plans of the enemy, to stop their attacks, to stop their raids, to stop their hurt, to stop their pain, to stop the brokenness that they bring into the world, to stop destroying families and hurt and pain. God puts us in this place to anticipate, to say the enemy will come, but we know their tactics. And we know what to do, and we will stop them and come against them. And so when he finds out it's Elisha that who has thwarted them, he sends out an army against Elisha. And he goes to the city of Dothan. And overnight he sends troops there and surrounds the city. And Elisha's servant wakes up in the morning, and he goes to get a cup of coffee and have his quiet time, and he looks at the window and goes, "There's an army outside. What are we going to do about it? Help us, God." Then he goes to Elisha, says, there's an army outside. And I said, yeah, so what? I know about it. His servant must have been terrified, thinking, oh, my goodness me. They're coming for us. We're going to die now. We're surrounded. The enemy's against us. And Elisha says, don't worry about it. And I'm sure he said so many things. Don't worry about it. The servant's pulling his hair. They're going, I'm worried about it. But that does feel like in our lives at times that we're surrounded. Surrounded by an enemy. Surrounded by an enemy. Surrounded by an army of people who come against us and challenge us and threaten us. Be it circumstances, be it a bad boss at work, be it sickness. Be it an unfaithful friend, be it disappointment, be it work situations. There's these things that surround us. And we can be like the servant of Elisha and just see the circumstances, see the challenges, see the hurt, see the pain, see the brokenness, and go, oh my goodness me, what do we do about it? We're surrounded, we're going to die, we're going to be killed, we're going to do things. What do we do about it? And how many times in situations where we're in difficult, challenging circumstances, we're running about like headless chickens? Just saying, what are we going to do about it? This is so difficult. That's a problem. This is a problem. This is against me. This is hurting me. This is causing me pain. Oh my goodness me. Oh, it's just too much. It's going to overcome me. It's just too strong. I'm going to die. Nobody feel that, just me. That's good. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's wonderful. We've got to swap seats. So many times I feel like the servant of Elisha, you know, just driven by circumstances, driven by events, driven by relationships, driven by hearts, driven by my past, driven by past relationships, driven by habits, driven by things that are not of God, and that God doesn't want in my life, and God doesn't desire anymore. And I don't see spiritually into the situation of what God wants to do. That even if I'm in challenging circumstances, even if I feel surrounded, that God has a plan for me to stand firm in that. To challenge it, to come against it, to do God's will and purpose in that. To be the man of God in that place, like Elijah, to be the man of God, to be the woman of God. The one who stands up and sees with spiritual eyes and sees the reality of the situation. That he may be surrounded, but he's surrounded by God. Isn't that amazing? There's times when the enemy surrounds us, when circumstances surround us, when challenges surround us, but we're surrounded by God. And he's telling his servant, just like I'm telling you, and his servant was doing exactly what you're doing. Going, Elijah said, okay, open his, so his praise, his first prayer, he goes, open the eyes of my servant, Lord. Let him see what I'm seeing in this circumstance, in this situation, surrounded by this army which he thinks is so hopeless, so difficult, so challenging. Let him see what I see. And his servant's eyes were open. He goes, oh, right, these odds don't seem too bad. Because he saw a mighty army of angels with chariots and swords and shields surrounding the whole army of Aram. And he's thinking, they think they've got us. But we've got them. Because when God spiritually opens our eyes, we realize the enemy may think they have us. They may think they control us. They may think they dominate us. They may think they define us. But we know who is for us. And who is surrounding the enemy. And the enemy is nothing compared to the power and authority and the strength of our God. Amen. And when the servant's eyes were open, it wasn't about seeing angels and chariots and all things, however wonderful that was, but he said, saw the manifest presence and glory of God in that difficult, challenging, impossible situation, that what looked impossible that God would make possible. Now Elijah prays again. He says, blind them, Lord. Wasn't that wonderful just to pray and say, blind them, Lord. And this whole army was made blind, and a bit stupid as well, because they went up and said to him, you're wrong city. The man of God you're looking for is not here. Let me take you to him. And then he takes him on a 12-mile hike to Samaria. That's some journey, 12 miles walking. That must have taken a good day and a half, 2 days to get there. That's quite a challenge to walk to Samaria. And he matches them there. And then we're in the city, and they're in the walls of Samaria, and the soldiers are there. And the army of Israel have surrounded them and got their bows and their arrows aimed at them. Then Elijah says, God, let them see. And the enemy opens their eyes and realize actually they're surrounded. They're defeated. They're in a hopeless situation. What turned out like Elisha was the one who's going to die. His servant was going to die. Now all this army thinks they're the ones who are going to die at the hands of God. And the king of Aram goes, and the king of Israel goes, please, Elijah, can I kill them? Let me kill them. I can wipe out this enemy in one go. I can do it in one challenge. Let me kill them. Elisha says, no. Give them some bread and water. Feed them. Offer them hospitality. And let them go, because, you know, they're harmless. There's nothing that they can do against you. Send them back to their master. And so we're in that situation. And you think you're surrounded. You're facing challenges, you're facing circumstances, you're facing hurts, you're facing pain, you're facing loss. Whatever you're doing, say to God, God, open my eyes. Let me spiritually see what this situation is. Let me see what you want to be in this circumstance, in this moment. Let me stand firm where I am. In fact, Lord, the enemy that's coming against me, let them be blinded. Let them be made harmless. In fact, God, you surround them and you disarm them and you defeat them, God, because you can do that. How many times in our situations do we come to God and we get on our knees and say, God, God, please blind the enemy, God. You know, make them harmless, God. Surround them. Set me free. Give me boldness. Give me strength. Help me to declare in you. First Timothy 7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. If he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, what's he given us? A spirit of power and authority and challenge to declare for this community, for Littleover, to declare God's freedom, to declare salvation for people who are lost, to declare wholeness for broken families, to declare whole healing for those who are broken and in pain. God has given us a power and authority, but we don't always connect with it, do we? I remember when I was in Sittingbourne, you know, and lots of wacky and weird things happen all the time. Lucia's even out crying again this morning. I got blamed all the time, you know. They used to think I was beating her or something because she was always going to church crying. But, you know, when you're open to the power of God moving and God doing things, God just transforms your life. You see things differently. He brings a joy and a hope in your life that is transformative. I remember people used to drag me out and they used to say, "Oh, Gary, can you help me?" I say, "What is it?" "Oh, well, you know, I'm really struggling and I'm really hurting and I'm in pain." And I said, "So what's going on?" She said, "Oh, well, you know." I remember one lady, and she had a shop. And it didn't matter what happened in her shop. Every time in her shop, she would be praying, and she'd be singing to God, and the shelves would fall down. She'd go, "Poof." And she said, "Guy, can you come and help me? Can you come and do something about this?" I said, "What do you want me to do? I can't stop your shelves falling down. I'm not very good at DIY." She said, "I want you to pray for it, Gary. There's something going on here. There's something happening here. There's something within my shop. There's something within the enemy of something that's happening and that's not right and it's wrong. And I want you to come and pray for it." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm a Methodist minister. I can do a confession, an adoration. I can do an intercession. But come and pray for your shop." They say, "Get shelves falling down." I think, "Oh my goodness me, I'm not sure about that." So I called a friend up and I said, So what do I do?" And she said, "Oh, just get some oil or some holy water." Where do you get holy water from? "You know, just pray over it. You know, you've got the Spirit of God over it. Pray for it." And then I walked into this shop and I'm thinking, like, "Greg, what do I do?" Now, this lady wants me to pray for the shop. There's all these things going on in this shop. There's always something spiritual which is wrong, which is making manifestations and things that are going wrong. What did I do? So I started praying, God, just give me an insight. Open my eyes to spiritually what's going on. I know in my rational mind I've been told by people that, you know, these kind of things aren't real. It's all in our head. It's just made up. It's just emotion. It's just people's effects. And so therefore, I had to get my place out of my carnal mind and saying, right, this isn't real. This lady's just mad. She's insane. She was a little bit. But but this lady's just mad. She's insane. She's in a crazy place. And so I got my oil and I got my holy water and I was in the shop and I was going, "Oh my God, God, what did I do? God, what did I do?" Now I started just to get the oil and just to put it around, pray around the shop and just to pray for it. "God, in your name, whatever's here, whatever's happening, whatever going on in this lady's life in the shop, I just pray for your cleansing and your power and your releasing in it." Then his shelves fell down again. I was like, oh, I hope she didn't want me to put them back up because I'm useless at that. And then the lady, she starts to shake. She starts to go move, and I'm like, oh my goodness me. What do I do? What do I do? She's starting to shake now. I've blessed the shop, okay, but she's starting to move now. So I said, right, I'll do what they do in Brazil. They just splat some oil on their hands and start to pray over the person. So I got some oil, and I said, Jesus, God, whatever's in this lady's life, take it out now in Jesus' name. And this lady, I swear not, she did a flip in the air like this, and she had her uncle and her brother next to her. And she landed there right on the floor. I was like, oh, my God. I've never seen a flip like this before. Flip. Whew. Right up. Landed down. Boom. And I just, right, God, hands on her. Jesus, release whatever this woman's now. Release it now. And she was released. And she got back up. And she was normal, saying, what was going on? I said, oh, you don't want to know. Then I started to get a bit of a reputation, and all people around the community started asking me to come and pray for their shops and doing things and their houses and their, you know, exorcisms and house cleansings and spirits and generational spirits. And I'm going, God, I don't know anything about this. I don't know what to do. I've got some oil and I've got some prayer. What do I do? And so there I'm going, and I'm just stepping out, and I'm, God, you just reveal to me. And I was like, remembering Elisha. Elijah said to the army, God, he didn't do it. Elijah didn't do anything, did he? He just said, God, I pray, God, you open the eyes of your servant. God, you make them blind. God, you make them see. So I thought, wow. So in prayer, in declaration, in what I'm doing, I don't really need to do anything. I just need to say, God, can you do it? That's amazing, isn't it? That's liberating. So here's me, and bold and strong into all these situations, and people have got generational spirits and things going on in their lives and their houses and circumstances, and I'm just going, God, set them free! God, deliver them! God, break this now! Break this hold of now, God! God, you make a difference! God, you bring joy and hope! God, you bring the brokenness over this family! You heal it now in Jesus' name! Wow! A bit of oil and just saying, God, you open their eyes. God, you set them free. God, you bring them hope. You bring them love. And I remember one lady, she wasn't a Christian. Actually, very anti-Christian. But she had so many things going in her house. So many manifestations, so many things that were just disturbing her. And she was an atheist, totally rational, materialist person who didn't believe in anything like that. Yet she said to me, can you come and can you pray for my house? I went there and I could feel a burning in my hand and my arm and the sense of whatever was there. And I just felt God saying to me, this is a generational spirit. This is something that's went over generation, over generation, over generation of family. Do you know, sometimes we have that in circumstances where we have spiritual forces which are passed on from generation to generation. You know, it may just be hurt, pain, loss, grief, anger, bitterness, resentment. But they get passed on from generation to generation. And eventually they just start to manifest. You know, it may not be essentially spiritual, but anything that manifests is spiritual, isn't it? Anything that's not of God, anything that comes through yourself, things that come in a part of your life that shouldn't be it bitterness, anger, hurt, resentment, it's so easy to pass on from generation to generation. Then you look down, your grandkids are manifesting this bitterness and rage, and you know where it came from because you brought it in. And so getting people to recognize that from generation to generation they've allowed something to manifest, a spirit, something to come and dominate their lives and control their lives, and to say to God, set them free now, God. But the problem is, people, when they engage with a spirit or something like that, they can become familiar. That's why you have the word familiar spirit. because people become familiar with them, become used to them. They talk in their ear, they're telling them wrong things, but they become used to it. They become familiar because they settle in their bitterness and their heart and their pain. And you see something, you see people, don't you? And every time you meet them, they just manifest, oh, such and such did this to me, and that hurt me, and this did me wrong, and that did me wrong. It's just like, oh, it's so bitter, you know, it's like being baptized in vinegar. It's just everywhere they go, it just pours off them. You can see it, can't you? You can see there's something on them that's upon their life, and you just want to get your hands on them in the oil and go, set them free, Jesus! Release them now, Lord! Just take that away! Yes, sometimes we're so spiritually blind to what we've allowed to carry on generation to generation, from child to parent to grandchild to great-grandchild, which dominates and controls and monopolizes your life. And because you're just thinking from your flesh, you don't see the effects, the manifestation, the power of that upon your family and upon your life. And before you know it, you're in brokenness, or your kids are in brokenness, and your grandkids are in brokenness, and you can't see why, because your eyes aren't open spiritually. You just think, oh, that's life. Bad things happen. That's just that. We all deal with bitterness and anger and hurt, but we say as Christians, no. We rebuke that in Jesus' name. We say no more. We say peace, love, kindness, hope, joy, self-control. We want to live in the fruit of the Spirit and manifest things that are good. We want to see our kids manifest things that are good. We want to see each other manifest love and peace and hope in every situation. And so I went to the lady's house and I prayed around her house, and there was such a strong feeling of just things not being right. And I prayed over it, and I prayed over her, and I broke what I felt needed to be broken in that lady's life. The things that had dominated and controlled her. She didn't tell me anything. I didn't know anything about it. I just spoke as the Spirit guided me, and I spoke as God said, and I said, it could be wrong, but this is what I feel that God's saying to me in a situation. I want to pray over it, and I want you to release it. And I want you to set it free. And I need you to pray. And I need you to renounce it and say, I don't want this anymore in my life. I want Jesus Christ in my life. And so here I'm with this atheist, materialistic, worldview lady, praying that God may come in and set free and break through all the strongholds which were upon her life and her family. And then had the pleasure of baptizing her children, which was incredible. And sometimes I don't say to many people about that, because I still feel a bit daft. But God's call is to step out. He's calling us to open our eyes to the spiritual forces that are around us. Not because they're strong, not because they're powerful, not because they dominate, not because they have any strength in themselves, because only we can listen to them and give them strength and power. But we ask God to open our eyes and realize actually God is more powerful. God is stronger, greater is within us that's in the world. We can overcome, we can have strength, and we can break this and not allow it to dominate and become part of us, but to be filled with the Spirit of God and be filled with love and hope and peace and God.